Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church Podcast. As you listen, we pray God's blessing be over you and that He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Now let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison.
Matthew 28, verse 19. Therefore, go and make disciples. Go and make disciples. Our vision for this year at Christian Ministries Church is making disciples. It says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. These new disciples, you got to teach them. Obey all that I've commanded. I've given you a bunch of commands, and you're going to teach these new disciples to obey them. And be sure of this. I'm with you. I'm with you when? Always. Until the end. I'm there. I'm here to encourage, to bless, to lift you up. But you know what it doesn't say? It doesn't say that God's going to teach. It says the disciples are to teach. The disciples are to teach who? Disciples. And what are they to teach? They're to teach what God has given us, what God has commanded. Not what God has suggested, what He commanded. Teach them to do what I've commanded you to do. It's hard to teach someone something you don't know. I don't know if you ever tried or not. I have a lot of people that I watch in life try to tell others how to do something that they can't do themselves. That's always tough for me. Here's what you need to do. Well, just come on over here, big boy, and you do it. That's what I want to say sometimes, because it's tough to teach something. Well, if you do it like this, well, show me. It's a lot easier to teach something that you can do. And let me just say, if you don't see yourself as a disciple of Jesus, it's going to be tough for you to disciple others. So this is a twofold vision this year. When we say making disciples, it's first of ourselves and then of others. And we have to know that. I have talked a lot since the 1st of January on this vision. And we'll be talking about this all year, how important it is that we are making a disciple of ourselves, and then how important it is that we're making disciples of others. It's what God called us to do, make disciples. Get yourself discipled. Get yourself discipled, and then get others discipled. The church has done really good at getting people saved. In fact, we've always looked at this verse as a version of evangelism, and we haven't seen it as a command for the church. We've seen it as something that what we are to do as God's people, the church, we are to go and get people saved. And we've done really good at that. For years, we've been converting people to Christianity. I mean, right now, we're at an all-time high of converts in the world for Christianity. It's phenomenal. We've done a wonderful job of converting people to Christianity. However, we have done a really bad job of, once they're converted, getting them discipled into the commands of God. And so I have said that you can be a convert and you can not be a disciple. But let me also say, you can't be a disciple without being a convert. So you got to get, you can be a convert into Christianity. You've been converted into Christianity, but you can say, I'm saved, but not be discipled. But you can't be discipled unless you're saved. So if you don't know Jesus this morning, I beg you, don't leave here without coming to see me or someone who you know is a Christian, and let us introduce you to Jesus. It's very important that we have converts. Very important. I want to make sure and stress that. We have to have converts, but we can't leave them as just saved. We've got to get to a place where the converts are getting discipled. They got to be discipled. And that's the heart of Christian Ministries Church this year. A disciple is one who accepts, who lives, assists in spreading the doctrines of another. And there is everyone that has been converted into Christianity is at a different stage in their discipleship. And I get that. But whatever stage you're in, you ought to be able to share with everybody that you come into contact with what you have already learned. See, if you've learned how to get saved, you ought to be able to tell someone else, you can get saved. That's the first step, is we've got to know what we just did. Well, if you know what you just did, you ought to be able to tell somebody else what you just did. Well, I just got saved. You did? Well, yeah, I did. Well, what happened? I don't know. You don't know, but you just did it. No, if you just did it, you'd know what you just did. Am I making sense? I mean, some of you are going, well, duh. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. I want to talk about this passage of Scripture. Same stories in Matthew chapter 16 and in Mark. So this is told three different times in Scripture. And they were writing down what Jesus said. And here's what he said in Luke chapter 9, verse 23. If any of you wants to be my follower, in the NIV it says disciple. If any of you want to be my disciple, and that's what we're talking about this year, you must give up your own way, take up your cross daily, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you'll lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you'll save it. What do you benefit if you gain the whole world but are yourself lost or destroyed? If anyone is ashamed of me and my message, the Son of Man will be ashamed of that person when he returns in his glory and in the glory of the Father and the holy angels. And there's several points that each one of this talks about. In Matthew, it talks about for the Son, in verse 27 there, it says, for the Son of Man will come with his angels in the glory of his Father and will judge all people according to their deeds. In Mark, it talks about in verse 37 of chapter 8 of Mark, is anything worth more than your soul? So there's a few more things that it keeps adding as you read it in each story. But you got to get the gist of what Jesus was saying here. He said a bunch of ifs. An if means on the condition that. So here's what you do. He is presuming that on the condition, or I'm going to assume that if also means if given that. As you look at the word if, here's what you do on the condition that you want this. This scripture is imperative for the life of. Here's what you do if, on the condition that you want to be a disciple. Here's what you do. If you want to be a disciple, here's the things that you got to do. We have to know what to do because this is our vision this year, making disciples. We got to know what to do. So the first point I shared a couple of weeks ago, if you want to be a disciple of Jesus, you got to give up your way and pick up your cross daily. I mean, that's what you said. You got to give up your way and pick up your cross daily. Now, for years, and I shared this, I just got to reiterate what I said a couple weeks ago when we started this. Many have said, pick up your cross means pick up whatever's bothering you. See, just carry your cross, pick up your cross. So if you're having a strained relationship, just pick up that strained relationship. See, whatever's bothering you, if your job is just exhausting, just pick up that. That's your cross. That's what you have to bear. You have to pick it up. And maybe it's a physical illness. Pick up your cross. Maybe it's a season of life. And that's just the cross I have to carry. And that's versus how they'll use that. And in today's culture, I understand Christians view the cross as a cherished symbol. And it is. We will always be preaching the cross here at Christian Ministries Church. You have to understand that. But we're going to teach it right. In the day of Jesus, the cross represented nothing but a torturous death. The Romans forced convicted criminals to carry their own crosses to the place of crucifixion. And here's what you have to know. When it says to pick up your cross, it says to take whatever that area is that you're still holding on to and you go put it to death. See, that's the representation. It means a complete, absolute surrender. When he talked about bearing the cross, when he talked about picking up the cross, verse, if you want to be my follower, if you want to be my disciple, you got to give up your own way and take up your cross daily. What does that mean? I'm going to take up the things that this world is putting on me that are not associated with the Word of God, and they got to die. That is not going to live no more in my life. And so that cross represents taking things to get rid of it. I've got to take this foul mouth and I got to get rid of it. So I'm going to pick up my cross daily. I'm going to take this foul mouth to put it to death. This anger that I'm dealing with every day. Well, my daddy was angry and I'm angry and it's just in my family. You put that and you put it on the cross, pick up your cross and go put that thing to death. The way you're treating your wife. You name what it is. That's got to be put to death. That can't be that addiction. Oh, I'm picking up my cross. Why? Because that's dying. That's got to die. That's not going. I've got to have the life God called me to do, and I've got to give up my way and take up my cross, and then I've got to follow Jesus. And so I want you to see that. If you're trying to hang on to your life, you'll lose it in verse 24. But if you give up your life for my sake, you'll save it. Whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it. Does that start making some sense as we talk about taking up the cross daily? The second point, that was the first point. Here's the second point I want to start on today. We as disciples have to benefit the kingdom of God. This is going to be really good today. This is big. Most good teachers use tools to influence their students. I mean, good teachers use tools and says that some things that make them think. A good teacher will make a student think. Well, how did Jesus do that here? He asked them questions. And a good teacher will ask questions. Well, I have a test today. I hate tests. What are tests? Test your questions. And they're a question that you have to answer. And Jesus, the best teacher of all time, uses questions. Teachers today use questions and quizzes and exams in daily lectures, and they're there to review old material, and sometimes they're to introduce new material. Well, as Jesus did this, and he used this particular method of instruction, the Gospels record the fact that Jesus used questions over and over again to help disciples understand what we're to do. And so I like this. He says, what benefit if you gain the whole, what do you benefit? What is the benefit if you gain the whole world but are yourself lost? If you gain the whole world but you yourself gets lost or destroyed, what benefit would that be to you? That's what Jesus asked. What benefit would it be? Now, I like that teachers, I like it when they ask obvious questions. It helps me to understand better. And some people are like, I walked in and asked my wife a question this morning. And she just looked at me and went, really? I said, have you blow dried your hair yet? And she just looked over at me with wet hair and goes, really? I asked some really obvious questions. Well, the reason I was asking it wasn't because I just wanted to use the hairdryer. So the right question would have been, can I use the hairdryer? But I just wanted to ask an obvious question. No, I haven't. And I do that a lot because truly great teachers know to ask a question with an obvious answer. I thought I'd share that with you this morning, babe. That was just for us and kind of our own time together later. But they do that to drive a point home, and that's what Jesus was doing here. He asked an obvious question because several of his disciples were businessmen. I like thinking about this because as you see the question that Jesus asked, he asked a question and he said, listen, guys, it doesn't make good business sense to attempt to get all the world has to all the world has to give if it causes you to lose in the end. See, he knew that the businessmen would understand that. What good is it going to do for you if you gain everything right here in your business and everything works wonderful, but you lose eternity? That don't make any sense at all. We got to understand that being a Christian, being a disciple of Jesus, we need to know what Jesus was saying here. I read a statement, I like it like this. Only a fool would give what he cannot lose to gain what he cannot keep. Let me say that again because it's kind of deep. Only a fool would give what he cannot lose to gain what he cannot keep. Paul put it in his letter to the Philippians in chapter 2, verse 7. He said, whatever was to my profit in the world, whatever was to my profit in the world, I now consider loss in comparison to knowing Christ. Whatever the world offers that's that great, it can't even touch what Jesus can do. They just can't even touch it. Now, you got to keep in mind, following Jesus is pretty easy when life's running smooth. And anybody that's been through a test, a trial, a tribulation can know that it's in those times that your true commitment will be revealed. See, it's easy to follow him when it's just all going hunky-dory. Everything's, how's life? Well, it just couldn't be better. That first wind, that first storm will show where your commitment level is. And that's why this year we got to make some disciples. Because converts are closer to an old lifestyle than mature Christians. See, if you just converted, it's easy to go back to all you know. Because all that stuff hasn't been put to death yet. But the more you mature in Christ, everything, even recent past and what you can see in the future, your commitment level is way higher. And I want you to see that Jesus was teaching this in the beginning to the disciples. He was saying, hey, here's what you need to know. Disciples have to get to a place where they understand sacrifice doesn't cost them, it benefits them. But that's hard in the beginning. As a new convert, just sacrificing every Sunday, and they're asking me to go to church on Wednesdays too. As a new disciple, as a new convert who's trying to get into discipleship, that's quite a sacrifice. That's a lot of hours, especially to a church that's so far away from most people's homes. Really? They want me to go to church? Jesus is to be pursued. And if you're going to pursue something, you got to give up time. And you got to give up what you used to do to pursue him. Boy, there's a cost. But is anything worth more than your own soul? Life is tough. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we are hard pressed on every side. We're struck down, always being given over to death. But we don't lose heart, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Boy, I like when we start thinking eternity-minded, because then it makes what you're doing right now significant. But when you just think world-minded, it doesn't get you under the understanding of how significant what you're doing right now is. It just gets you thinking about getting paid on Friday. The Greek word here for light, it says, we don't lose heart for our light and momentary troubles. Man, I know people have been through some major troubles. And it's hard for me, and I know it's hard for others that are seeing some of the troubles people have gone through, for us to see them as light. But you now know what light means in the Greek. It's pretty cool. It's like, wow. Here's what light means in the Greek. It means easy to bear. Pastor, really? Is that? Yeah, light and momentary troubles. Easy to bear troubles. Let me just tell you, there are some troubles that I know that have happened in some people's lives right here in this very room that I don't think anybody can get that and go, that was easy to bear. That was easy to bear. But Paul said, we're pressed down, we're struck down, we're given over to death, but we don't lose heart because as a disciple of Jesus, the troubles are light, easy to bear, and momentary. Paul was saying we need to think on the significance of eternity. We've got to start thinking on the significance of the kingdom. And if we're going to build the kingdom, we've got to see our life as kingdom building. Jesus said, in this world you'll have troubles, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So I mean, just scripture starts coming to life as you start seeing this. So as a disciple, one of our goals is to get to a place that we see ourselves as living as a benefit to eternity, the kingdom of God, not submitted to the kingdom of this world. We should desire to live a life that is a benefit to the kingdom of God. As a disciple, that should be our desire. We need a desire. But so many Christians live their life as a Christian, not thinking about being a benefit to eternity, being a benefit to the kingdom of God, but being a recipient of whatever God's going to give me. Boy, are you hearing this? So many people are only coming to Christianity to get what Christianity is able to give. And they just live like that, and they never see themselves as being a benefit. If you see yourselves as what you can get from the kingdom of God, then you need to get discipled a lot further. It's not that the getting's bad, it's good. But you're only getting so that you can be a benefit to the kingdom of God. Boy, this is big. If we're gonna grow and make disciples this year, we've got to get to that place. Well, I need to go to church today. Why do you need to go to church? Well, because there's probably something I need to get. When you get to a place where you say, I'm going to church because I have something to give. See, there's a benefit to the kingdom of God because I'm a disciple. That's what we're growing here. That's what we're growing here. Somebody who's going to benefit the kingdom of God, that's what we're discipling. A benefit means an advantage or a profit gained from something. Because you signed up to be a Christian, is there a benefit to the kingdom because of you? It's a big question. If the world is where you see yourself as benefiting from and your profit is from the world, then there's no gain. It means losing yourself. So you got to be real careful about getting caught up on, I see my benefits coming from this world. My benefits are from the kingdom of God as a disciple of Jesus. And so we've got to change that thinking for our converts so that they can get discipled. Your profit or your benefit must be seen as coming from the Lord, and that only happens through an understanding of how to get into those benefits, and the way you get into them is you mature in the things of God. That's second point. Number three, don't be ashamed. Take up your cross, number one. Number two, be a benefit to the kingdom of God. Number three, don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. Verse 26, if anyone is ashamed of me and my message, the Son of Man will be ashamed of that person when he returns in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. You know, I don't want when Jesus comes back for him to go, Ashley, I'm just ashamed of you. How do I keep that from happening? I don't ever be ashamed of him. Won't ever be ashamed. Well, what does that mean? This is just one of those areas that continue to amaze me with people who I just know that you can be saved and not be discipled. I know that because I watch people that claim Christianity that are ashamed or come across as being ashamed. Ashamed of the gospel, ashamed to open their mouth, ashamed, they're embarrassed. Ashamed means embarrassed or guilty because of one's actions. Ashamed, they seem to be embarrassed or because their actions show that they're not really. We got to show that our actions stand for Christ in every circumstance, every area. We got to get past the embarrassment or the shame of praying. Well, I'm not embarrassed to pray. How much do you do it? Are you embarrassed? Now, here's the deal. I understand you just got saved last week. Or maybe you're acting like you just got saved last week and it was 20 years ago. But at what point are you not ashamed to stand for God and say, can I pray for you? Pastor, you're stepping on toes. No. I'm talking about what Jesus said right there in his word. He says, don't be ashamed of me. or I'll be ashamed of you. Well, how do I get him to not be ashamed? How do I disciple my, I stand up and I pray. We got to have people, when you're called on to pray, you'll pray. When you're in a group and you're, our families are together. I'm embarrassed. I understand that. Go stand in front of a mirror. I've done it 100 times. And prayed out loud looking at myself. Now that's weird. But there was a season I did it because I didn't want to, I wanted to be able to not be ashamed. I had to practice. How do you not get ashamed of something? You practice it. 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 Well, I just don't know. I don't know if I can pray. Well, start. And you may not start in a group, but start every day spending 30 minutes to an hour. It won't be long. You won't have any problem praying. You practice it. How do we not get see, but people will say that they're a Christian, but Christians are oftentimes the last people to speak up on what the Bible says. And this is a shame. A shame. But for years, the 30, 40, 50-year-olds, our grandparents said, you need to leave church and politics separate. And we came across to a world that we were ashamed of our Christianity when it came to the voting booth. I can tell you, we won't be ashamed if we're discipling God's people. We won't live ashamed. And God's people start showing up and they'll vote because they're not ashamed of the gospel. You know how they're not ashamed? They practice the gospel. They practice day in and day out how we operate. I can tell you there wasn't enough Christians voting in New York. There wasn't enough people. All I can tell you is if you've watched anything that's happening on what they did with that abortion issue in New York, I'm not here to get into all of it. All I'm telling you is Christians, there's some ashamed Christians. And right now I'm watching it all across our country. We've got to not be ashamed. Well, how do we do that? In a break room, when a topic comes up that you know because you're discipled is against the word of God, don't be ashamed and stand up. I'm not saying put everybody else down. Just stand up and say in love, hey, guys, in the Bible, here's what it says. And I'm a Christian, so I want to bring God's word into what you're talking about because that's how I live. Well, I just don't know if I can do that. Then you need to practice. At a family gathering, people start talking and they talk about things that are clearly against the word of God. When are we going to have a Christian in this family stand up and say, well, guys, the word of God is this. What about at school? Young people, I'm not just talking to the old people in this group. I'm talking to you. At school, someone on your team is operating against the word of God. When are you going to stand up and go help them see it biblical? You're going to make a disciple. Now, you got to be careful that you don't reject that person and you don't condemn them, but you can go and offer them, here's what the Bible says. Well, I don't know what the Bible says. Then practice the Bible. See, that's what we're getting discipled so we can show that our actions line up. When you're with a bunch of friends and your friends start telling a dirty joke, men, women, you're going to stand up and say, whoa, wait a minute here. That's not what we're doing. I'm not meaning to be mean, but that right there clearly against my Christ, my God, who I'm believing is a promise keeper, who's a way maker, who's a miracle worker. See, I'm believing that he's working right now. I'm going to stand up and I'm not ashamed of him. We got to get to a place where we're not ashamed. We can't be ashamed of the gospel and the life that God says he's giving us or that is in process of getting, and we're ashamed of it. Come on, we're to be disciples. Number four, the last one today, we got to live excited. We got to live ready. We got to live committed. Live excited and ready and live committed. You can say this real easy. Have some deeds. I like what Chapman said this morning. He got up and he said, at the name of, there's power in the name of Jesus. As we were singing that song, there's power in the name of Jesus. How is that implemented? By doing what Jesus said. There's power in the name of Jesus, so we're not going to rob God. Well, why aren't I going to rob God? Because I'm going to, by what I'm doing, I'm living committed. I'm going to bring the power of the name of Jesus into my life by not robbing God. Boy, I was sitting there going, he just preaching my message right here. It was awesome. And a lot of people think that well, I'm living in my deeds. Everybody's watching what all I do, and I just feel like people are really judging me. And that we look at showing our deeds as something that's evil. But Christians need to be seen. Christians need to be seen. They need to show their deeds. Ephesians 4:1. Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you've been called of God. Well, Wade used this last night to the men, and I loved it, the way it was communicated. Men, live a life worthy of your calling. And then he said, if I was talking to women, I'd say, women, live a life worthy of your calling. Well, what does that mean, worthy of your calling? Live like you are a man. Live like you are a woman. Live like you're a Christian man and live like you're a Christian woman. In our society, nobody's teaching how we're to live as a man. Well, a man is defined in the word. And we got a bunch of weenies out there that don't know how to be a man, because we're not discipling them into being a man. And Wade was just straight as could be. There are certain parts of your body that define whether or not you're a man or a woman. Well, I just don't know which I am. I know that's what society's teaching, but the Word of God defines you are a man. If you don't know, there's a lot of people here that can help you. I can tell you, there's a man and there's a woman. And you need to know how to live a life worthy of the calling that's on your life to be a man. There's a calling on your life. Well, I didn't know. You were born and you were born a man. And so you need to live a life worthy of being a man. You need to live a life worthy of being a woman, ladies. You were born a woman. Live a life that's worthy. Well, I don't know how to do that. Proverbs speaks very highly of it, ladies. I mean, there's some good, a lot of great scriptures. Men all over the word, women all over the word, and it talks about how to live a life worthy of your calling. We're men, and I understand, contrary to popular belief in our society, but I'm not lining up with the world. I'm a disciple of Jesus. And so I'm not going to be governed by that thinking. I'm going to be governed by the word because I've committed my life to him. We got to be able to get to a place where we are seen as men and women of God. It's our calling. Now, I don't want to do something out of pride. I'll just get in the other ditch for a second. Obviously, you don't want to, everybody look at me, look what I'm doing. But there are times I want people to see what I'm doing because it'll further the cause of Christ. I like it when my wife sees what I've done. In fact, I'll stand by the sink sometimes and I'll just go, oh, you did the dishes. I did. And that gets a little prideful. But when she walks in and I'm not there and that house looks good, I like that she saw it. And I'm glad that I did it. And she'll come up, I saw what you did to the house. See, there are things I'm pretty glad she sees that I did. It works well for me when that happens. As we are trying to be workers for the kingdom of God, wouldn't it be nice if people see that we act like and our deeds fall in line with, and that waitress talks about you when you walk out the door and right there's somebody that I found out they were a Christian. So we're hurting the cause of Christ because we're not living committed, and we're too worried about people seeing that our deeds are worth showing off if they're going to line up with Christ. Now, I'm not talking about getting prideful. You got to hear what I'm saying. Matthew 16:27, Jesus added, "For the Son of Man will come with his angels in the glory of his Father and will judge all people according to their deeds." You're going to be judged according to what you've done. You might want to do something. See, making disciples is something that we're going to be doing this year. And we just got set up for a great year. It's going to be good. Are y'all ready for it?
We're so glad you joined us. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit cmchurch.net.